His assistant leader of the 3rd Platoon, 2nd Lieutenant Robert Matthews, took his place, with Sergeant Lipton as his second in command. The rest of that day and night, on up to the time the men strapped on their parachutes, Winters had a constant line of troopers asking him, with smiles on their faces, to break their arms or crack their vertebrae. General Taylor circulated among the men. He told them, "Give me 3 days and nights of hard fighting. Then you will be relieved." That sounded good. 3 days and three nights, Winters thought to himself. I can take that. Taylor also said that when the C-47s crossed the coastline of France, he wanted every man to stand up. If a trooper got hit by flak, he wanted him to be standing and take it like a man. There was a point to the order that went beyond bravado. If a plane got hit, the men hooked up and ready to jump would stand some chance of getting out. Taylor told Malarkey's platoon to fight with knives until daylight, and don't take any prisoners. That night, June 4th, the company got an outstanding meal. Steak, green peas, mashed potatoes, white bread, ice cream, coffee, in unlimited quantities. It was their first ice cream since arriving in England 9 months earlier. Sergeant Martin remembered being told, "When you get ice cream for supper, you know that's the night." But a terrific wind was blowing, and just as the men were preparing to march to their C-47s, they were told to stand down. Eisenhower had postponed the invasion because of the adverse weather. Easy went to a wall tent to see a movie. Gordon remembered that it was Mr. Lucky, starring Cary Grant and Lorraine Day. Sergeants Lipton and Elmer Murray, the company's operations sergeant, skipped the movie. They spent the evening discussing different combat situations that might occur and how they would handle them. By the afternoon of June 5th, the wind had died down, the sky cleared a bit. Someone found cans of black and green paint. Men began to daub their faces in imitation of the Sioux at the Little Bighorn, drawing streaks of paint down their noses and foreheads. Others took charcoal and blackened their faces. At 20:30 hours, the men lined up by the plane load, 18 to a group, and marched off to the hangars. Nobody sang. Nobody cheered, Webster wrote. It was like a death march. Winters remembered going past some British anti-aircraft units stationed at the field. And that was the first time I'd ever seen any real emotion from a Limey. They actually had tears in their eyes.